T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Josh Blackman joins us, Washington D.C. from Washington D.C., associate professor of law at the South Texas College of Law in Houston. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking the time. So, Mr. O'Rourke talks about, you're darling right, we're coming to get your guns. One of the things that the right rallies around is that they're going to take your guns, they're going to this, they're going to do that. But could anybody take anybody's guns, just in general?
Well, I think first, yes, win the election. That's a little bit a ways off.
Right. But hypothetically.
Hypothetically, confiscation is very hard. In the United States, historically, when gun control laws are enacted, it's done incrementally. That is to say, okay, if you have a gun, you can keep it, but you can't buy new ones of this nature. But there have been some jurisdictions that have said, okay, we're going to ban guns that people have, and you are now required to turn them in. And that's not been very effective, because you can imagine people say, screw it, I'm not turning my gun in. So there are places like in California, in Connecticut, in New York, where you have these prohibitions on owning certain types of guns and magazines that people simply ignore, and they keep them. And it's never happened that I'm aware of where you have these gun control laws and the police go door to door, knocking on people's houses, saying, okay, give us your guns. I think police officers don't want to do that because it's dangerous to go to someone's house and demand they hand over their firearms. So it's somewhat of an empty threat to confiscate guns, but it's something that's happened in other countries, and I think it's a threat that gun owners do take seriously.
But that would seem as though, and Professor, you know a lot more than I do about it, but that would just shred the Fourth Amendment, would it not?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Generally, for the police to enter your home, they have to have a search warrant. They have to have some sort of probable cause to search. Now, if a state has what's called a gun registry, they know that, you know, Josh owns an AR-15, for example, then that might be a ground to have a warrant for my arrest, saying, yeah, look, he's possessing a gun in violation of the law. Now, I think there's a story that's local to you guys. I think in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, there were instances where the National Guard did go door-to-door and start confiscating firearms. And that's an old story, which I am not precisely certain on the specifics, but I vaguely recall reading about that over a decade ago.
You know, Josh, I don't know, and I'm trying to remember if that's the way it happened, or they just confiscated guns from people who were, I don't know if you want to say, brandishing them, exhibiting them, displaying them. I don't know, but I'll look into it, definitely. Along those lines, does it change in an emergency situation, or no martial law was declared? Because I think that's only happened, what, once in the history of the country, maybe twice? So that, even though in an emergency situation, would be a violation of that?
Well, I think the legal issues in the aftermath of Katrina were very complicated. I think a lot of people did stuff that wasn't quite lawful. As a general matter, our laws don't turn off in times of emergency. Even when we have some sort of a crisis, we still have the rule of law. But I think in Katrina in particular, the government started doing stuff that wasn't above board. There are ways of suspending what's called habeas corpus, that you can't arrest people randomly. But there's no way to blanket suspend the right of searches and seizures, that you can't have people of the government running through your stuff and taking your stuff.
Yeah, I looked I'm sorry, Josh. I looked it up, and it said that the police officers began confiscating weapons from civilians in preparation for a forced evacuation of the last people who were still there. Police and federal law enforcement agents scoured the city, carrying assault rifles, seeking residents who had holed up. So I don't know if they were still there. I know they said Superintendent Eddie Compass at that time said, no one will be able to be armed. Guns will be taken. Only law enforcement officers will be allowed to have guns. So you're right about that. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll talk about the right and because I think, generally speaking, those are more people in favor of owning guns. And I own several guns. About if they're fearful of something that could never happen, or is there a scenario under which the federal government would be able to just go door to door and seize weapons? 821, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back in a flash. Right now it's time for WWL traffic. 827, Tommy Tucker, talking initially about Beto O'Rourke, and he had some kind of buyback plan where you would mandatory have to sell your weapons to the government and they would compensate you for them. Of course, we had a failed plan here in the city. Josh Blackman, associate professor of law at the South Texas College of Law in Houston, where they were giving you $500 for any gun. So people were going to Academy Sporting Goods and other stores and buying guns that were $300 and turning them in for $500, which, in terms of capitalism, you can't really blame them. In terms of what happened here, as Josh mentioned, in 2006, right here on this radio station, WWL, the new police chief, Warren Riley, said during circumstances like that, and it was only for people walking down the streets, that you can't allow them to carry guns. They filed suit. A restraining order was issued. But the bottom line on all of this, Josh, is that the city only returned the guns if you could prove that they were yours, and a lot of people couldn't, so they never did get their guns back. I guess, could the government, and the reason I'm bringing all of this up, could the government in some way declare some type of emergency, be it real or manufactured, under which they could legally do something like what happened in New Orleans after Katrina?
Well, I think your question has two parts. Could they? Sure they could. Mm-hmm. Would it be legal? No, it would not.
Okay.
And the upshot is what happens afterwards. If the government actually decides during some national emergency that they're going to confiscate guns, do you get it back into the emergency? Maybe they lose it. Maybe they decide to give you money instead of the actual gun because maybe the gun was damaged.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever any government decides to confiscate a gun, there's a very good chance you're not getting it back.
As happened here.
And you look here and you look around the world, there have been efforts to confiscate firearms. This is not something that Beto made up. This has happened. And it's the sad history that whenever you have a registration of firearms, it's a prelude to later saying, okay, you have this gun. Now we can take it away from you. We can ban it. So that's the history of gun laws around the world.
You know, one other thing I know, when you buy a firearm, they run you through the background check, right? And we have a controversy going over background checks between private purchases. But guns that are bought from outlets, registered gun dealers, I guess, some people think that even though there's not supposed to be a national gun registry, that because the federal government, I guess it's ATF, is that who it is?
Yes.
That approves these purchases, somehow they're keeping these names, and that there would be a federal registry. Has there ever been any way to prove it or disprove it?
As far as I know, there's not this sort of national registry. I know people worry about it. What's called the NICS, the National Instant Background Check System, basically runs your name and sees if you are prohibited from purchasing a firearm. The store might keep some records, but the feds do not. Now, there are a lot of states that do keep registries that make you register whatever firearms you own. You have to get it licensed. I think in D.C., for example, you have to do ballistic testing. You have to actually bring the gun in, fire into one of these little boxes so you can figure out what the signature of your barrel is.
Wow.
So some states have very elaborate regimes of who do you have, what do you own, hey, what are the details of the gun. But at least where I live in Texas, and I think in New Orleans or Louisiana, they don't have any sort of registration regime.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. I hope you come back on with us.
Thanks for having me back.
You bet, sir. Josh Blackman, associate professor of law at the South Texas College of Law in Houston. And that is, if you think about what happened here, and if you're one of the people who had a gun confiscated and never got it back, I'd like to hear from you. You can text it to 87870. You can even call 309-1053, and I'd love to hear your story. Now we pause for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.